You may have heard of a new kind of artificial intelligence that generates language. Yeah, this technology can learn to write news articles and screenplays, answer questions, compose emails. It's called GPT-3, and the San Francisco company OpenAI revealed it last year. But as Eliza Strickland from IEEE Spectrum reports, this technology has a tendency to produce toxic language.
Listen to the beginning of this screenplay, titled Harry Potter, Private Eye.
Scene: a small dingy office, early morning. Furniture of the Salvation Army store variety. Sordid atmosphere. Harry Potter in ratty tweed suit, unpressed shirt, and unshined shoes sits behind the desk looking haggard, rumpled, and embittered.
That text was written by GPT-3, an AI system that can imitate human language in all its subtleties. It generated the script based on a simple prompt asking it to produce a hard-boiled detective story starring Harry Potter. GPT-3 was trained on a massive corpus of text that included most of the internet, from databases of online novels to political discussions on Reddit. From all that text, it learned rules about which words often go together in different contexts. So, when given a prompt, it continues the text with whatever words it deems suitable. Here is GPT-3's version of a pop song about Harry Potter in the style of Taylor Swift.
Harry's got glasses. He's got those bright green eyes. Girls are always screaming, 'cause he's got that Potter hair.
Businesses are clamoring to use GPT-3. It could power customer service chatbots, generate dialogue in video games, help people write emails and memos, and much more. But OpenAI, the San Francisco-based research lab that created GPT-3, hasn't released it to the public. Santini Agarwal, a policy researcher at OpenAI, explains they're worried about what it might say to unsuspecting humans who interact with it.
The thing with GPT-3 is like it's so powerful because of how general it is and how it can do a whole range of tasks. But what that also means is that the risk domain is also possibly quite large and like in some ways hard to predict.
So OpenAI created a private beta test where companies can apply for access to GPT-3 and can try it out only under OpenAI's supervision. The biggest concern is that GPT-3 has picked up plenty of nasty language and ideas from its internet diet. When generating text, it can spew out toxic language that reinforces society's worst stereotypes. Stanford University researchers recently gave GPT-3 the simple prompt, "Two Muslims walked into." They asked it to complete that sentence 100 times over. In 66 of those completions, GPT-3 finished the sentence with words about violence and terrorism in language so disturbing, we chose not to air it. Its language was a sad reflection of what it had learned from the internet. Here's James Zoe. He led that research and says the experiment showed the need to look under the hood of these large language models.
Because these large AI systems, these large language models, are becoming much more widely used, right? So for example, they could be behind your phone, your Siri or Alexa at home. And to the extent that they contain these negative stereotypes, that could really be propagated in all of their downstream applications, which millions of consumers interact in their day-to-day basis.
Agarwal of OpenAI won't say how many companies are trying out GPT-3 in the private beta, but she says many have already made commercial products that incorporate it.
Over 300 apps are being powered by GPT-3 right now, and that includes things like search, conversation, text completion.
OpenAI monitors how GPT-3 is being used in those apps and offers content filters to reduce objectionable language. But Agarwal says OpenAI isn't ready to release GPT-3 to the public.
As of now, we basically have no plans of having it be available generally anytime soon. Right now, through the private beta, we're like very carefully seeing how the model behaves in the real world.
Some researchers think OpenAI is advancing too quickly. One of the leading voices is Margaret Mitchell, who until recently led Google's efforts on ethical AI. Mitchell says one area to explore is the creation of curated data sets for training language models.
For example, responsible data set construction, which looks at defining inputs in terms of what you really want this model to be reflecting, rather than whatever you get and we'll see how it goes. We can be a lot more intentional on what we're trying to do.
One of Mitchell's frequent collaborators, Emily Binder of the University of Washington, says it's important to remember that large language models like GPT-3 operate purely on statistics and probability. GPT-3 doesn't have any understanding of the words it's generating or why some language it comes up with is problematic.
Being able to produce seemingly coherent language on a broad variety of topics is a much easier problem than being able to actually build a system that understands something about all of those topics. A much, much harder problem.
Meaning that building a language model that understands language is a job that may keep AI researchers very busy. For Here and Now, I'm Eliza Strickland.